Hey, it's Laser Graves, and I'm your co-host, EK.
Hey, EK. What's that sound? Is that...
It's thunder in my heart.
It is. It is thunder in your heart. Yeah. Hi, I'm Mariah.
Yeah, you're listening to a podcast about the 80s, and this week, if you're tuning in for the first time, you chose wisely, because we're going to get pretty rad on this episode.
Totes rad.
We were just pumping ourselves up with a little thunder in our hearts, and... You know, whatever, copyright sucks, because it would have been awesome to blast that as an intro instead this week.
I'm imagining it, though.
All right, this week we are talking about a cult classic from the 80s called Rad, 1986. It's, man, this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
Put your helmet on and get ready. So
bounce around on that bike of yours.
Yeah, show us your moves. Show us your sweet moves, kid.
Oh my gosh.
You have any thrift store finds before we get in? Because we got a lot to talk about. I'm excited to get into this one.
Yes, I do. So in the post-Halloween season, this is the glorious time for me to go thrifting. So I went after Halloween and went to thrift stores and cleaned out... really the only important thing left behind after the Halloween season. And it was giant, like, white gloved hands, like Mickey Mouse hands, but right. with four fingers. Yeah. And they're giant, like as big as a small pillow. Each one.
I remember you wanted them, and then you went out to the truck or something like that, and I said, it's cool, I'll buy it, because I was buying something else. Mm-hmm. And then when I went through the register, the checkout lady looked at them, and she went, oh, man, I was hoping somebody would buy these.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told me I really wanted to buy them, but I didn't have a reason to buy them. And then I said, my wife does have a reason. Well, yet to be determined.
But... And as I was digging through, there was another, like... Halloween lurker, and I just held them up and I said, I need these, right? And she went, who doesn't? So
oh, she knows what's up.
Yeah, but she had actually just passed on them, but whatever.
Yeah, well, her loss, because they go really well with the banana costume that you bought.
So far I have tried to text while wearing them and also caressed every single member of our household with my giant hands.
Yeah, you tried to turn on the TV with the remote wearing them the other day and that didn't work either.
I really want to open the door when the UPS guy comes and just reach for my package with them, but like sneak only my hands out the door.
It's a solid idea.
No problem.
Yeah. This week I haven't had any finds lately, but then finally yesterday and today I did get some good stuff. I knocked off Goosebumps number 60 from the list for those.
Which
of you,
one is that?
Oh gosh.
The Curse of the Mummy's Brain.
No, it's I think it's a werewolf one.
The slimy werewolf in your closet.
Sitting over there.
Under your bed?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
I have been, for those of you who have listened, been trying to chip away at every Goosebumps book for years now. I only find them at thrift stores. I don't, like, buy them anywhere else. So it's been a very long effort. And I'm down to, like, the final four or five. So this was a big deal to find one. So
yeah,
I got that.
Did.
Found a couple records. And then I think found a couple tapes. But the one I was most excited about is a documentary from years ago that I've
You mean VHS tapes?
Yeah, VHS tape.
Okay.
Well, I did find a couple cassettes, too. I found a couple Judas Priest cassettes.
Cool.
But a VHS tape I found that I've been wanting you to watch. You've just never seen it. And I haven't seen it in probably, man, I don't even know, maybe since it came out. It's a documentary called American Movie about these two kind of like headbangers that try and make a horror film.
How did you see it without me?
I think I watched it with my friend.
No, you don't have friends. I'm kidding.
No, yeah, sad but true.
You've got like several.
No, but I found that. I'm very excited. I'm excited for you to see it. So we'll watch that this week. I mean, it's not going to be on Laser Graves, so whatever. But
because it's, what, 2000s?
No, is it?
Probably.
Dang, I don't even know.
I think it was after we were married that it came out.
Yeah, it might be early 2000s.
Okay.
Well, but, cool. Yeah, that's that. Okay.
Scores galores.
Yeah, anything.
With Z's only.
Anything else you need to put out there?
Get off my chest? No.
Okay, good.
What about you?
No, we need to talk about this
Let's
movie.
Let's get rad.
Rad. Okay, rad. 1986. We watched this on our VHS tape. I found this in the wild one time, and it was a big deal because it's a very expensive tape. I mean, it's at minimum maybe about 40, 50 bucks, but I traded it off the day I found it. I came home. Mm-hmm. You were out of town at the time. I found it. I watched it. I mm-hmm. laughed really hard because I did not grow up with this movie. But
That's surprising to me because I feel like it's something you would have loved as a little boy.
I rode my bike around, but I wasn't like an extreme biker. No. I was a skater. So I was watching, you know, Pal Peralta films and stuff like that.
This was my way of
getting pumped up and getting rad. But to those people who were into biking, this was like the pinnacle of coolness. So
it's kind of a rare breed, the bike people.
Yeah, they're a weird bunch.
Well, there's like subgroups of bike people too, because you've got the like casual bikers, then you've got the BMX bikers.
They're the ones that like to bounce on their bikes on one wheel.
Oh, so much, so much bike bouncing. And then you've got the like long distance bikers who are gonna bike till they bleed.
Oh yeah,
quite literally.
Oh yeah, that's what they got tattooed on their arm. Bike till you bleed. No, but I did find this tape. I watched it. I laughed really hard. I was mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, you have to see this. But then immediately because I had posted it on Instagram, had a bunch of people asking for it. So I was like, you know what? This isn't something I need to keep. Mm-hmm. Clearly, this means a lot to somebody else. And I ended up trading it away the same day, got some stuff. And then I kind of immediately regretted it because I really did enjoy the film.
Because it's rad.
It is rad. It lives up to its name. And then I thought, well, there it goes. I'm not going to find that one again. That's a really rare tape. And then about a month and a half ago.
Oh, yeah. When we were traveling up in northern New Mexico.
Yeah, I stopped in a really tiny town, went into their little like church thrift store and sitting right there. It's much more beat up than the other copy, unfortunately, but it played perfect.
It's okay,
but I
it's
found
rad.
A second copy. This one was 99 cents and I picked it up. And that's the copy that we have, and I think I'm going to hold on to this one, because it's fun. It's definitely, like, part of our collection now.
Well, yeah. Now we're podcasting about it.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Put it in the vaults.
So that's how we got it, and we checked it out. This was a first-time watch for you, right?
Yes, it was, and I was instantly pulled in, because it starts off with possibly the coolest movie I've never heard of, called The Dirt Bike Kid, a little ad for it.
It's got that kid from Christmas Story, right?
I think it is.
I think it's him.
He also reminds me of the kid from Jerry Maguire.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know.
He's got a dirt bike that flies through the sky.
And it's called The Dirt Bike Kid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think the bike fights crimes? I'm not sure.
No.
But it's
flying trailers on VHS.
Yeah, like E.T. style.
Yeah, no, we'll hunt that one down, too.
I definitely would like to watch Dirt Bike Kid.
Yeah, forgot about The Dirt Bike Kid.
And then we start the movie, and it's a bunch of kids jumping and twisting and doing fancy bike balancing poses.
Yeah, there's a long scene
for
like
several minutes. They're twirling. They're hopping.
They're showing their skills.
They're standing on one wheel and just bouncing.
Yeah, oh, like, there's a lot of bouncing in this.
I thought, is this that? Like, that's the rad thing is you balance your bike on one wheel and then hop?
But it's kind of like they're nervous. Like, like they're just bouncing constantly.
Yeah.
But I realize it's like them prepping for a cool trick where they're going to like stand on a spoke and spin it under their leg and then
while
pose.
They bounce.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's
kind of like
world.
It's kind of like when parkour guys fall and then they just roll and then hop up and you're like, oh, was that on purpose? Because it's kind of what they do with bike bouncing.
They fall off, but then
they like hold a leg out and you go, okay.
Or they almost drop the bike to the ground and then they catch it and they're like, psych out. I'm going to just pull it back up and bounce some more. And that's just part of their freestyling is what it's called.
Yeah. And honestly, I thought about it. Like, take the bikes out of these sequences and just imagine young men just bouncing, twirling, kicking their feet out. It's not very rad.
Yeah, but with a bike, it is rad.
Okay.
It's very similar, too. The freestyle technique is very similar to the same time period in skateboarding with people like Rodney Mullen, who would like whip his skateboard up between his legs and like hop on the tail and stuff like that.
So
it was
much
like,
bouncing in the 80s.
There was a lot of bouncing in the 80s. Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
I don't know.
But whatever, they seemed really proud of themselves in this opening scene.
And it was a lot.
I ain't gonna hate on it because it was cool, and it had like killer soundtrack right away. This film has never been released, to my knowledge, on DVD or Blu-ray or anything.
I can kind of see that. I feel like the audience is pretty narrow.
Yes, yeah, so it's kind of like your special bunch if you've seen this this real gem.
And so they're hopping and bouncing. And then it's like it seems like a huge crew of dudes, and then everybody like breaks and they're on a paper route, and suddenly this huge crew is really only three people, I think.
Yeah,
a guy, a girl, and then our main guy crew. They go onto their paper route, and there's lots of bike shenanigans. It is bike parkour paper route.
Yeah, it's really. Is this when did Paperboy come out?
I have no clue.
Had to have been before this.
Yeah.
So I'm a, yeah, it had to have been. Because this is like live action Paperboy.
Yeah, they like drive up over cars. They land on cars and everybody's fine with that.
But it's like dodging obstacles and delivering papers. I was like, wait, this is just Paperboy.
Yeah, like riding up a ramp. One of them gets a lift from a dumpster, like forklift thing.
Yeah, and one of them... our lead, his name's Crew,
yes.
Right? He's the paper delivery boy.
He's one of the three.
Yeah, at one point he's like doing all his cool moves to like show off how skilled he is. And then he falls and he gets up and he like slicks his hair back and he goes, whoa, gnarly.
Yeah, he says gnarly. It doesn't work for him.
This is directed by Hal Needham. And he did like the Smokey and the Bandits and stuff, I think. I didn't really look him up, but... This is like an action-packed movie, for sure.
You know, it's weird, too, because after we watched it, nothing really happens. It's like one small thing happens.
But... it's like Waiting for Guffman. It's like the whole town makes a really big deal out of nothing.
Yeah.
It's an extreme course, apparently.
Okay, after he finishes his paper route, in which all of the people are so excited to be receiving their newspapers from this bike boy, except for one crotchety old man... he drives by a sign for this big, what's it called, hell track?
Oh, yeah, the hell track.
That's being set up in town, and apparently it's a big deal.
Yeah, this is it, right? This is the moment they're all waiting for. This is going to change their town and bring tourism in.
Biking is such a big deal.
And it's supposed to attract all the greatest bikers from all over the world or something like that.
Well, you know, from the way that they... responded to the paper delivery antics, maybe they really are into biking that much.
People were into biking back then.
No, they weren't. We lived in the 80s.
Yeah, dude. People were into biking.
Kids would, on
my street, set up ramps and then just all day, like, try and do cool tricks in front
of
everybody.
Right, but their adults were like, ugh, really?
Yeah, that's true. They didn't give them money.
Yes.
You know, though, this was pretty trendy. Just for 80s subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Another contemporary film of this time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see BMX Kids with Nicole Kidman?
No, but I kept thinking...
Or no, BMX Bandits.
Yeah, I kept thinking about that because it was Lori Loughlin was the Nicole Kidman in this
movie.
Yeah,
this is some. I wonder what the parallels are to this.
I don't know. We should watch it.
We should, for sure. Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay, so they have a town meeting for Hell Track. Getting it set up, and we meet the like owner of Hell Track, who is a guy who clearly has never touched a bike in his life. He's overweight, he's angry, he has shown no signs of activity that would indicate he's an active biker, but he's gonna set up Hell Track because it's gonna make money. Also, this is when we learn that they refer to biking like teams as factories.
Is that what they say?
Several times.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to backtrack on this soundtrack for a little bit.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Wow, this is something special, isn't it?
Pedal us back through it.
Yeah, I will. I'll backpedal, but like backpedal a wheelie.
While bouncing.
Yeah, bouncing, and I'm going to spin the front part of my bike. It's going to be amazing. The opening, by the way, did you notice it's like a full music video? There's a lot. This whole movie basically just breaks into music videos.
Every time there's a bike riding sequence, which is 90% of this movie.
That opening track was called like Break the Ice or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote down a lyric.
Okay.
Because it was good.
Hand it out.
Get ready to break the ice.
That's it.
Well, that's the one I wrote down.
Wow. Thank you.
Aren't you glad I remembered that?
Yep.
All right. Well, yeah, there's a town hall meeting and there's the mayor and this guy who's going to organize it. And he's like, you know, all the best bikers are going to come. And of course, some parent,
a busybody from the audience,
gets up and is like, this isn't fair to our local boys because they should have a chance too. And then they're like, fine, we'll hold a qualifier and the local will get $10,000.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so that's like the compromise.
And that just means that they've qualified to run the Hell Track race.
Yes.
So that's what they've done. And then our crew and his buddies, they have a weird hideout. And this is important because this is where we get the most ridiculous extended escape sequence.
Did you have a hangout, like hideouts as a kid?
I tried so many, but it was like, I'm going to go build a fort and I would just stack some branches and then sit under them and then become worried about like spiders and
That's
snakes.
How all, you know, in our minds, it was like we had the coolest clubhouse in the world, but in reality, it was just so pathetic.
I knew it was pathetic when I made it.
Have I shared the story of my...
No, not
the
here.
The best clubhouse I ever created.
It's so smart. Tell us.
It's interesting. So I grew up in the desert and we needed something with shade. It was my buddy and I. And we went out into his yard and we had this grand idea to build an underground fort because then we would keep really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started digging and it's like, you know, 100 degrees out in the middle of the summer because we're bored. You know, we were probably 10 or 11 at this time. We're digging with our shovels. We dug forever and we were just dying. And I think we only got, you know, maybe, what, two feet in. And we were like, this looks pretty deep to us. And then we put a piece of plywood over the top and we covered it back with dirt so nobody could see it from the street. And then we tried to get in and all we could do was basically like shimmy in on our stomachs and then roll over. So it was like a shallow grave. And we just stood it or like laid next to each other in the dark.
And baked.
And it was like right up to our faces, like we were actually buried alive. And we were like, yeah, man, this is our cool clubhouse. But we couldn't move. Oh. And then we realized that that wasn't going to work out.
Didn't you put a sign in front of this clubhouse?
Yeah, that was the one. That was the one that said, girls allowed.
I thought you said it said girls only.
No, it said girls allowed,
I think. That's cool.
Yeah, it didn't work.
You know, I had a false wall in my house where my parents kept the litter box. So it ran. I lived in this crazy house for a while, and this false wall popped out, and you could go behind. It was like 8 feet deep. And my parents kept the litter box there, but for a while I convinced them to take it out and I moved all of my stuff in there. And I was like, this is the coolest hideout. But the thing is, there's nothing to do when you have a hideout. Like, you can go out there, but kids want to just like run and play.
So. Yeah, you just sit there and you're like, okay, well, I guess this is what I have now.
Yeah. And it's then when really you're boring. Grown up, you're like, oh, a hideout would be so cool.
That's like all I dream of now.
Well, that's cool what hideout. You have in here in our garage.
No, I want like a cool hideout though.
Okay.
So
they're in their hideout, which is really just like an abandoned house. And they hear like the revving of an engine and it's the police, like the motorcycle police officer. And he's out there with his glasses,
a mustache.
Yep.
He's bald. He's like the typical like bike cop.
And I think he's kind of good natured. They make a joke that he wants to play, and I thought he was just trying to bust him, but then it kind of seems like he was playing, too.
Yeah, I don't know, but there's this long chase scene through, like, a lumberyard.
Through a lumberyard, and it's, like, up a stack of logs, down a ramp.
It's, like, an excuse to play more music, like what it comes down to.
And more bike bouncing.
Although he's got some rad moves. I mean, he does a lot of these, like, sideways tail whips and stuff like I don't know what the moves are called, but
let's name some.
Okay,
call one.
One's called the scorpion.
What happens in the scorpion?
That's when you're like, you're riding really fast and then you slam on your front brake and so the back tire goes up behind you and then you bounce a lot.
I like it.
It's called the bouncy scorpion.
Then after this, he escapes the police officer. He goes and picks up his sister. And his sister's a sassy little, like, 10-year-old, but she rides on the spokes of the back of his bike. I couldn't help but think of the 80s. Like, this dude would be the weird, like, guy that can't afford a car. So he's just riding a bike around. But in this movie, it's cool.
Yeah, he makes it work for him. Is this where we get all the college drama with his mom? Like, you got to take your SATs.
It's shortly after. But I do need to note that he takes his sister while they're riding bikes through a yard and to get her sprinkled with a sprinkler. Did you make note of that sprinkler?
No, I didn't.
It was a gigantic, like, human waist high pink elephant that tilted its head side to side. I want it so bad.
That's cool.
I don't have a yard, but if I did, I'd want to sprinkle it.
Yeah, no. But basically, the whole beginning of this film is just setting up that we can see that he's got some really mad skills on the bike. And then we go to a practice scene. This is where we'll skip to, is because I like the scene where they're at like the practicing all their moves, and he's trying really hard to do like a backflip or something like that.
Yeah, so he wants to qualify for Hell Track, and I guess that's the thing that he needs to really master to know that he can do that.
Yeah, and he's trying to do like this flip. There's like this bitchin' saxophone playing, like, solo the whole time.
I feel like there was a saxophone playing entirely through the movie.
I imagined it to be, like, in another dimension, like, linked dimension. You know where I'm going with this? Yeah. What's his name? Tim whatever, the guy with the fishnet shirt, the muscle guy that plays a saxophone from Lost Boys?
Did it? Oh, no.
Yeah, Lost Boys guy.
I was doing the eternal saxophone.
Anyway, I just, like, imagine if he was, like, in the corner while these teenagers are on, like, their BMX bikes doing backflips.
Yeah.
And he's, like, thriving and, like, playing his sax solo.
I love it. Because this movie really actually could have stood for some vampires.
Oh, yeah. That would have been interesting.
Oh, nice twist.
I'll take that.
Some bike-bouncing vampires.
Yeah.
Oh, and you kind of started to mention that there is a little drama buildup, and this is the only real successful drama, but Crew's mom doesn't want him to qualify for Hell Track because that is the same day that he's supposed to take his SAT exams, and apparently he's, like, out of luck if he doesn't qualify on that day for the SATs.
Yeah, that's right.
Or take the SATs that day.
But he's you know, he's a rebel because he's on a bike.
He's rad.
Yeah. So he's like, Ma, I gotta bounce.
And SATs are gnarly.
He just leaves. And so there's
Did he say that?
What, I gotta bounce?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I was so excited.
I think that's a newer term. I don't know if that was used back then.
You got me excited.
Yeah, well, sorry. So there's a parade.
Uh-huh.
Right? I don't know what that was for, but it's
I think it was for the pro bikers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. That's introducing the bikers. This is where we get to meet Lori.
Aunt Becky from Full House. I'm purely going to call her Aunt Becky.
Yeah, Bex. Yeah, she's...
Bend it like Aunt Becky.
She's about to do some hard time for her evil deeds in the world, but she's a youngin' here. This isn't her first film. I saw her, you know what she was in before this,
even what?
Younger? Amityville Horror 3D.
Really?
Yeah, she's in that. She's also, she's in The New Kids. That's a pretty cool one we should do for the podcast.
Okay.
But yeah, she's 22 in this one.
Okay.
So, yeah. Still young in her career.
And she's part of the pro bike team that's coming through. She rides a bike. Do we call them bikers? They're not cyclists. BMXers?
What do you call them? Freestylers.
Bouncers.
Bouncers.
And then there are two twin bikers, like a pair of twin dude bouncers. And then one super duper blonde guy who's the best in the world, and he's come to this small town. The small town, incidentally, is called Cochrane, and it's supposed to be in Canada.
Well, it was filmed in Canada. This whole movie
maybe
it was.
Maybe that's all, because maybe it was supposed to be in the U.S. Whatever.
What do you think in the script they wrote in that there needed to be twins, or do you think they just cast twins? Because it's pointless.
No,
there really did not need to be twins, but I loved that there were twins.
I did too.
And they had like their twin language, which was cool.
Yeah. And they didn't really play a big role either.
But their screen time, especially coming up here pretty quick, was crucial to this movie.
Yes. And then we go to a dance because apparently nothing like Hell Track to set up a dance situation.
Yeah.
I guess it was a party for the Hell Track, or was it just a school dance at which bikers were invited?
I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
Lori looks the same, right? Like Becky?
Ageless.
She, seriously, like, looks the exact same.
Yes.
It's pretty funny.
It's that Massimo money that's keeping her young.
Is it? Okay. Well, Crew out front is like showing off his moves.
Yeah, he's trying to impress Aunt Becky with his bike skills.
Yeah, he's definitely showing them off. And did you notice that, like, all his close-up scenes of his sweet moves are all shot from his back? Like,
yeah, or just his legs.
So you can't see his face doing it?
And he doesn't realize she rides yet, does he? I don't think he realizes she's a biker.
Well, he's going to now, because she sees him doing his sweet moves, and she's like, oh, man. Like, he knows how to get right to me. This is this is the guy I've been looking for. He's got it all. He looks like Scott Baio.
He's playing got the song from my heart. Yes.
And so she runs and grabs her bike and then, like, ramps over him to get his attention. It's a weird world of nerd play I don't know about. Like, well, was this a thing?
No, but I do like that she's like, oh, you're going to impress me? Let me show you. And then she Shania Twained him and was like, that don't impress me much.
So you got a bike.
So you know how to bounce on your bike.
So you look like Scott Baio. Don't impress me much. She goes in, and this is the moment that I was like, you have to see this movie.
This is bonkers.
It breaks into this musical number. So, okay, well, first off, there's like dancing. The twins are wearing the most ridiculous space costumes.
Oh, it's like 1970s costumes.
No, do you want to know where they came from?
Where?
They're from the set of the TV series V.
Why?
I think they just lent them to him for the
day. Or they just like walked onto another set and they're like, perfect.
But they're doing this like synchronized dance with these babes and...
Twins don't synchronize dance. They just know.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yep.
But they're putting on the moves. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. And then... all of a sudden, the dance gets interrupted by, what was the term they use? Oh, a bicycle boogie. Okay. With the announcer. Ladies and gentlemen, it looks like Cruz is gonna bicycle boogie. And then he comes in to this film.
What's the song that's playing?
Send Me an Angel.
Yes, and it says, send me an angel. And it's not... Lori Loughlin on Becky, who's the angel. It is, in fact, Crew.
Who spreads his wings.
Like he's Jesus, arms outstretched as it sings, send me an angel. It's so great.
It's so much slow motion of them, like, posing on their bikes while this song is badass, too. I love this song.
It is
a great song.
It is hilarious in this context. Because they are bike bouncing to spotlights. So everything is black. Except for them bouncing and twirling on their bikes.
Also, I love how Becky's like a really good looking lady. And when it cuts to her freestyle scenes, it instantly turns to a middle, like a 20-year-old man's body.
Like a skinny dude's body.
Yeah, like a lanky dude wearing a woman's wig.
And
doing,
her clothes.
Doing these sweet moves.
Yeah.
And I think like stunts are cool and all, but man, that's gotta suck. When you walk out with your bike and you're like, all right. Are we ready? And you're just dressed like...
Lori Loughlin.
Lori, yeah. Every scene where she's like whipping her bike around, I'm like, that's just like a 20-year-old dude with a wig on
right now. It really was.
And somehow I love it. It's like really charming.
Yeah, that made this movie because I kept thinking about it, especially because it was so bad with her double.
This bicycle boogie takes the whole length of the song too, which I'm not complaining about, man. It's funny, but at one point they're like even doing the cool moves where they're like laying back on their bicycle seat with their legs propped up with like
in
hands
ecstasy.
Behind. Yeah, like
pure ecstasy.
Like they're waiting for a pizza delivery or something. It's really weird.
Yes. And then the next day they take their bike romance to the next level. And it is weird because it looks chilly, first of all.
Well,
it looks
in Canada.
Like it looks like a chilly day. And at one point you can see Lori Loughlin's breath. But then he decides to show her fun. They do a bike chase, and he takes her water sliding down like a pipe.
It's like a log ride.
In clothes, in cold water, and it just pours them into a lake. And then she throws rocks at him?
Yeah, it was very like...
It was so weird.
I don't know. Is this like Canadian? Because I don't understand. Like, is
what
this
is
like
this romance
how
style?
Could Canadians like flirt with each other? Because, yeah, they like slide down a log uh-huh. and then throw rocks at each other.
In cold water.
Yeah.
All we're missing is really a moose or an elk.
It was some maple leaves, but it was really cool.
And then they stand in this cold water awkwardly embracing each other and talk about college. And she's like, you can just take your SATs another time, something that apparently had never occurred to him until this point.
Well, he's been busy.
Just got to bounce on that bike.
So he has to go back to the training, you know, like the practice area.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice when he rides up and they're like riding their bikes around that there's like two babes in bikinis watching? They get up and walk off like
they're
spectators.
The babes in bikinis, I think, are the ones that are with the blonde dude.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. And also, that's never explored. The guy that's supposed to be the best biker in the world, they have him be kind of rude, but not really a bully or a bad guy in this. But he just enters and always has two like wonderfully 80s babes with him. They're just perfect 80s babes.
They are like not only 80s babes, but they're like the edgy 80s babes.
Yes.
How did I describe it? Oh, they're like the Misfits from Gem and the Holograms. They look like they are in that band.
Yes, for sure. They're so perfect.
So cool, yeah. So they don't have a purpose, but they get up.
Oh, they have a purpose.
Up. I mean, yeah, they're cool.
They satisfy the babe quota for this movie.
Yeah, boy, do they.
And then we go to the qualifier.
Do you know what the tagline for this film was? Did
no.
you look it up?
No.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know.
A kid with one dream and one chance to be the best, to be rad.
Oh, he is rad.
Oh, we'll get to how rad he is.
Will we?
Oh yeah, I've got some fun facts to lay on you when we get there.
Sprinkle it on.
You know, speaking of fun facts, I'm not one to look at. I mean, I always look up budgets, you know, like, what was this made for? How much did it make? But we never talk about it because it's just, I have to bring it up for this one.
Okay.
You know how much this film cost? Like, a typical film from this era, like a good one, too. Like, Day of the Dead was 3 point something million. That's a big budget to get a lot in.
Uh-huh.
This one was $11 million to make this film.
In the 80s. That's $42 million today.
Where did that money go?
Bikes.
I get bikes, but like, was like $10 million of that to build L-Track? Because I was just confused when I looked at that number.
Well, okay.
You know how much they made from it?
How much?
Two.
Oh.
This was bad. And I think I didn't look it up, but I would venture to guess that was all on VHS rentals afterwards. Because that's really where it got its status. But
that's
yikes.
Horrible.
I don't know, but the tagline's awesome.
It is. Good tagline. Maybe that's it. Maybe their whole budget went into hiring somebody for
like
that
a marketing
tagline.
Specialist to be like, I need an $11 million tagline.
Yes.
Go. Well, it's still cool. But yeah, okay, back to qualifications. For the qualifier, we get introduced to a pretty sweet jam that's going to come up again.
I was like, there's another character, huh?
No, we get to hear Thunder in Your Heart. Do you remember that?
Yes, we
remember
just listened
jingle?
To it.
It starts off with the taking a chance, risking it all for the thrill of the moment.
That's exactly what Crew's doing.
I know. But then as it goes through like heat one, heat two, and he keeps qualifying each time.
Tearing
it's
it
just
up.
Blasting this song, because you got thunder in your heart.
Oh,
remember?
Yes, I do.
Yep, I
and
know.
Then,
every
and then,
move is like lightning.
This is also the point where I started to kind of drift off.
No, you didn't. Yeah, you did.
Okay.
I was jazzed at this point. I was like all in. Thunder was in my heart.
It was because of how many heats there were. I was in it for two heats, and I think it went around 32 times.
I will agree.
32 heats.
This could have been trimmed a bit. It was a lot of bike riding.
But then it would have been a 30-minute movie.
It's true. But did it need to be any longer than
that? Nope. Should have been a made-for-TV movie.
I feel like it was really conveyed. I mean, it was like that episode we did a few weeks back, the 2-minute werewolf.
Yeah.
Like, it got the point across.
This
right?
would have been perfect with a 2-minute werewolf budget and time placement.
This would have been a really
TV.
Good TV movie,
yes,
actually.
Yes.
Except that they couldn't have had the little sister saying shit every 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah. She was classic 80s.
Classic
80s.
Yeah. Well, so they all have thunder in their heart.
He has the most thunder in his heart.
He does. he gets through, he qualifies, so he's going to get to go on. That's awesome. The mom's not happy about it.
Yeah, she comes storming in because she saw him on TV. And she gets there and I'm like, is she going to be angry or is she going to be supportive? And she kind of goes in the middle. She says, you defied me. You're willing to sacrifice building a solid future for a bicycle race. And she says, it's very self-destructive.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of bicycle racing as self-destructive. Yes. Qualities.
But she does sort of begrudgingly go, all right, it's your life, I guess, kind of attitude.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And then after all this, he gets in, he's caused trouble with his mom. He finds out, like, the bad guy, the dude that's running Hell Track, is scrambling. And so they come up with, like, a loophole and it's like, yep, you qualified, you get your 10,000, but you need to have an official sponsor to actually run Hell Track.
Yeah, and so he's got his team rigged because he's got the twins.
Yeah.
And the main guy, like, they've got to win because he's already got all this merchandise printed.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the, you know, the face of it all. And
yeah.
Meanwhile, Becky.
Aunt Becky.
Becky with the good hair. She's got some hair, right? She's got some.
Solid.
Some 80s hair.
And she's got, like, windbreakers, too.
She does wear a lot of windbreakers in this.
I think that's maybe what they thought a lady biker would wear.
Sure. Well, she could have had the, like, biker outfit on underneath and just, like, been like, I gotta go.
Do you remember windbreakers, though, the way that they sounded when you walked? Like,
I hated it.
Every motion of your body was like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah.
It was even like wearing a plastic, like, bag. Turned your neck. Yes. It was
so dumb. Yeah. Yeah, I'm shocked those went out of fashion.
They kind of quietly, which is surprising, disappeared. There was never, like, a big backlash against the windbreakers.
Yeah, and you don't think a windbreaker would go out quietly.
No, exactly.
You think you'd hear it going out.
Yeah. I think the pants were the first to go.
You think? Oh, yeah, I would pants. Agree. Yeah, the jacket stuck around.
A little bit longer.
Socks lasted a little longer than that.
Windbreaker socks. Yeah, why don't you have, like, a windbreaker hat?
I think they did. Didn't they have those, like, weird neon hats that were made out of the same material?
No, I don't... Maybe.
I don't know.
Seems like something they'd do in the 80s.
Well, I'm glad we really dove deep on that.
The history of the windbreaker.
So what I was going to say was Becky was cheering him on the whole time because she's now, like, switched teams, basically. And
why isn't she competing?
Good question. Maybe she's just got the sweet moves. Maybe she's just, like, a freestyle street bike.
Like their go-go girl?
No, like, she's just too cool for competition.
No, because she's clearly signed on with them.
Yeah, but I think she was an assistant of some sort.
Okay.
I don't know.
Who cares? Yeah. It really isn't important.
We really need to get to Rad Part 2.
Anyway, Crew decides to sponsor himself. And also, there's, at this point, a romantic bike ride to the lake. And then the bigwig reveals that they need the sponsorship, as I said, but they also have to have $50,000 in some kind of sales.
Did you love this? I love that he was trying to take his SATs for college, but he, you know, he wasn't maybe the brightest guy.
I feel like he wasn't going to pass.
There's a couple scenes, yeah, that I thought you're not getting into college was you should really put all your eggs in this basket because she's explaining to him that he needs a sponsor and he's like, what's a sponsor? How does a sponsor work? And I'm like, dude, I understood a sponsor as like an infant. I already understood what a sponsor was. But this is one of my favorite scenes. It made me laugh out loud because she's like, well, this is what a sponsor is. And right at that moment, another guy on his bike wearing a shirt that says Coke on the back goes by. And she's like, there, he's got a sponsor. And I thought, man, that was kind of brilliant product placement because, yes, they got their product placement in, but it also was perfectly worked into the film.
Great.
So it was like, yes. Yeah, that's what a sponsorship is. That was pretty clever on their part.
I liked it.
That was $11 million at work right there.
Brain project, $11 million success.
All right. Well.
And then the city actually rallies around Crew and helps him fundraise. And so he gets in to do the actual Hell Track.
Which is nonsense. Do you know any city that's going to be like, we need to help him. He needs to win this race. he's our boy. And they all just start writing like $1,000 checks for some misfit.
I know. And this is the 80s. $1,000 then is $52,000 now.
Yeah, that was a stretch of a scene there.
Yeah, it was real stupid and very unbelievable. But then it's race o'clock. It's time for Hell Track. And the cop tells crew to go balls out.
And here's a fun fact for you. I didn't believe it at first, but I've seen it come up several times now.
What?
Take a wild guess as to what the original working title of this film was.
Balls Out?
Balls Out.
What?
I'm not joking.
Why would they? Ugh. Okay. That's rad.
That is rad. I'm conflicted. Like, part of me really loves the term rad as a title.
Yeah. Because
you just can't get any cooler than that.
Rad.
But Balls Out is equally as rad.
It's crazy. And I mean, I mean, they didn't sell well, didn't show well. They might as well have gone with Balls Out.
I'd imagine the like logo for that.
I think they should have gone with rad:Balls Out.
And how cool. Yeah, there we go. And instead of him just jumping like on the poster where it's him like whipping his bike to the side, it's like him with like doing the airwalks, his legs are spread. And then it just says Balls Out really big over it.
And then he has the truck nuts dangling from underneath his seat.
It's got little bike nuts that like dangle underneath.
Do they sell those? If not, we should. That's our $1 million scheme.
You know, I've been around a lot of guys on bikes because at skate parks, they'll always come in to do their moves and like, okay, whatever. But a lot of them are bros and like Monster Energy drink bro. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. Some of them are really cool, but some of them are total bros. And you know, if there are bike nuts, they've got them attached to the back of their
I'm
bike.
I'm sure there are. I mean, Amazon has that. I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll look it up after. I would be curious to know. Like little American flag painted ones, too. You know that kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. So then it's race time. And this is, in fact, the largest amassing of bike lovers ever in the world. There mm-hmm. are 42 people. And curiously, Crew comes in and he advances to fourth place only. He's not leading right off, which I kind of thought. I thought it would be him and Blondie.
Yeah, no, it's got to get some tension.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how this is going to end.
I don't.
There's this funny kind of subplot, too, between one of the old town council guys.
Oh, yeah.
And the lead organizer, where he's like, one's all in with the top biker and one's all in with Crew.
Uh-huh.
And they keep, like, posturing against each other. And the old guy, who's from a ton of stuff, I was too lazy to look up what he's from.
Yeah, he's just kind of from all the things.
He, at one point, he gives a pretty sick burn. I don't know if you remember.
No, what does he say?
He goes up to the organizer, because they're like, you know, bickering back uh-huh. and forth. And then he says, I'm beginning to see you as something I stepped in, and I don't like the smell of it.
Oh.
Then do you remember what he did right after that?
No.
He flipped him off.
Oh, yes.
And that wasn't the only time this old man flipped off this organizer.
Old people flipping other people off is entertaining and also upsetting.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
Big day of the race.
He advances to fourth place, and he also nails the stunt that he'd been practicing doing the flip. And at this point was when we learn it's called airwalking.
No, it's not.
Yep.
No, that's a backflip. Airwalking is when you make your legs like spread like you jump.
Oh, dude. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I'm right because who cares?
You're wrong. I'll just let you know.
Whatever.
Okay.
I'm rad.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, you're so supportive.
Big day of the race. Let's get to it. We get introduced to all 20 riders in the most exhaustive scene in history. They actually introduce every single writer one by one, which you could have cut out maybe 15 minutes of the film from this scene alone.
Do you know what the music sounded like at this scene too?
No, I don't remember.
It sounded like the extended version of the intro to SNL.
Oh yeah, the saxophone was out of control mm-hmm. again. Yeah. No, I did write that down. Yep. It was something special.
Yeah.
It was really...
To me, it was just like, oh, it's SNL. And this is where I started to fall asleep because it's a really long scene of Hell Track.
Yeah, it because
you know what's going to happen.
Yep, but you know what? There's a big surprise.
What is it?
Crew wins the whole thing.
What?
Yeah, dude.
The underdog wins in this movie?
He did it. He did it. And then, you know, the best part is at the end, the, like, lead guy who's supposed to be, like, his nemesis.
The blonde guy with the two 80s babe girlfriends.
Yeah, he comes up and he shakes Crew's hand and he's like, good race. And Crew's like, yeah, it was. And then the little sister's like, hey, isn't there room on our team for one more?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, they just started a team with town money, and they're going to sponsor the best.
Biggest bike, like the that's like Tony Hawk coming to your small town, losing in one competition, and then being like, I'm going to join the team that was just created by the people that work at the pizza place downtown. I'm going to give up everything for
sounds
it.
Sounds right.
So stupid.
And, you know, the way they seal the deal with this new team membership?
How?
More bike bouncing.
Oh my gosh, that end scene was a lot of bike bouncing, wasn't it? But it was like in the, like as the sun was setting. So it had this like Top Gun feel to it, you know, where like they're silhouetted.
Oh.
Yeah.
The real lesson to take away from this is bike bouncing wins over college any day.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, it did. I mean, he's like has a career because of it.
Here he goes. His town's going to support him.
Yeah, and he's better support that town because he's the hometown hero.
There we go.
This was a fun one.
It's a really fun movie. It's so stupid. There is everything you want in a terribly bad 80s movie.
Yeah, it has picked up over the years, like definitely become cult status.
Yeah.
Like another film that I can think of that you grew up with. It's the counterpart to this.
I was seriously trying with all of my heart not to bring up Teen Witch.
You just did. So anyway, it's very Teen Witchy, but for like dudes. And so I was thinking about the cult status of it and how it grew over time and what these people went on to do. Obviously, one of them went on to have a very big career with Full House.
Yes, Aunt Becky.
Yeah, and is still in the news today. She's doing so much.
And she's encouraging college students even now.
Yeah. She's like, you know what?
Full circle.
Yeah. Whatever it takes to get into
college. She made her kids not take the SATs, right?
She's her character.
Oh, it's perfect. Oh,
that's nice. Okay. So I was thinking about it, and I was looking into the lead guy.
Uh-huh.
He wrote a book.
What is it called? Bike Bouncing Forever.
It's so much better.
What?
My Rad Career.
Oh. Yes.
It gets better.
Okay.
So, and he seems like a really nice guy.
Is he rad?
He was in a movie called Rad.
Okay.
I don't know if I would technically call his career rad, but you know what? If he had a good time, like doing cool stuff, good for him.
Gnarly.
But he wrote a book because he felt like the fans needed to know what it was like to be a part of this awesome film.
Oh.
So he wrote it. You can get it. But it gets better.
What?
He also, I think for $75, you can have an original piece of art that's the word rad that he spells out with a bike tire.
He makes?
Bike art. That says
does
rad.
Does he ride bikes still, or is he...
No, he uses a bike tire.
Oh.
Dips it in paint, and then across a canvas or a piece of
paper,
writes the word rad, and then you can buy that.
I was thinking that he, like, bent a tire and into spell the word, like, into the words rad. Or like,
oh, now that. There you go.
I was like, that's a pretty good deal for $75.
No, he takes like a bike tire and uses that as his like paintbrush.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's not so rad.
I don't know. Is it?
It's not.
I think it is.
I mean, it's rad for him if somebody buys that.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it's pretty cool, man.
He sold one.
All right. Well, that's rad. Recommendation hardcore from is yes. Laser Graves approved 100%.
I dare you to buy some rad art.
Oh, if anybody has ever bought one of those, chime in. Let us see it.
Yeah,
I would love to know if somebody owns one of his paintings.
He must have sold them because he's offering them, right?
Maybe.
At least once.
I kind of want to read his book now, though.
I don't.
I want to know all about it.
Ugh.
Well, so Rad was fun, and mm-hmm. I recommend it to everybody listening. I think if you haven't seen it, it's definitely a fun ride.
Mm-hmm.
If you have seen it and you haven't seen it in a while, I'm sure you will revisit it. Because it's a blast, man. It's classic cheesy 80s. Like,
it is. And as we're concluding, I want to elaborate on my truck nuts for bike idea.
Okay.
I want on one nut it to say balls and on the other nut to say out.
What if... Okay. Maybe we should talk off mic. Because okay. I'm starting to get some ideas okay. and I don't
want
to like...
We don't want anybody to steal this genius idea.
They're starting to get really good now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm seeing like a franchise.
Here we go. This
okay,
is
and
it.
Since
this
it was never
moment.
Called Balls Out, like that's fair game, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we'll call our company Rad.
You know how after we did Killer Workout, I said, I got to make a Rhonda's Workout shirt. And
yes,
I did.
Yes, you did.
And then after we did Trick or Treat, I said, I got to make an Extremely Extreme Ragman shirt.
Yep,
and I did.
You did.
I'm thinking the third shirt's coming.
Is it going to be red too?
Oh, it's going to be red because his shirt was red. Remember
yep.
his team shirt?
Rad and red.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys got to hear that conversation.
Uh-huh.
If you like what you heard this episode,
uh-huh.
Tell some friends, follow us
Do
on Instagram.
It.
We're at Laser Graves. You can download us, stream us, check out back episodes. We've got a bunch of them. They're all wherever you get your podcasts. So iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Spread the word if you can.
Please.
Rate, review. And then if you want to follow us on Instagram, my site is death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And I hope you guys have a rad week. And we'll see you next time.
Balls out.